WKFK.com. WKFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ricky Bobby, today's big winner. Heck of a win for you today, but it seems as if you either win or crash the car trying to win.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about? That phrase is trademark, not to use the position of Ricky Bobby Inc.
Click, 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 click.
They will choke your throat with the umbilical cord of comedy. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi there.
You're a goddamn genius.
Thank you. Well, a lot of people like me, football's just about over.
Yep. Winding really, down.
You got American Idol, you got 24, and then you got NASCAR.
Right.
And they ran lots of ads yesterday for Daytona 500. And, it's time for a little segment we like to call Senior Citizens in the News.
Hey.
Very exciting.
I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
I'll be right back.
Don't you go dying on me.
Let's say hello to 72-year-old James Hilton.
Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Jimmy, what's happening? The deal with this gentleman is he is 72, just a little younger than Buzz, and he wants to qualify for the Daytona.
Now, you've raced all your life, James, but you're getting back into it, and I would imagine you're a pretty significant long shot. What's motivating you to do this?
Well, I've raced all my life since I was 18 and raced steady on NASCAR.
Way back then when you were 18, did you race horses back then?
Yes, I had started out in a 37 Ford Coupe.
I mean actual horses. if you were that old, I'm talking about horsepower. I mean,
you know what's cool about this guy? Yeah, you got your start. You got your start actually steps away from, just a couple of miles away from, my area over in Manassas, Virginia. That's the first race you raced in, right, at the Old Dominion Raceway?
That's right, and made $100.
$100, yeah. It's exactly what they're still paying out there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
So when you first started racing, did they have the type of cars that had, like, those windy things in the front of them? They had to wind up like a jack-in-the-box to get them going?
No, just, you still crank them from a front, the old crank, like in the old days.
That's right, you crank them up to get them. That's how old you are.
You were racing back in the days where, didn't a lot of these guys legitimately, race car drivers, come from backgrounds where, they ran some moonshine and stuff like that? I mean, it actually really happened back when you started, right?
Well, that's right. That's what actually is what happened with NASCAR was a bunch of old bootlegging boys and farm boys got out there in the cow pasture and raced each other. That gave France the idea.
True or false, you were the Rookie of the Year in 1966.
That's right.
NASCAR Rookie of the Year.
Yep. Hello.
Yeah, we're here. We can hear you.
Yeah. Guess how old I was in 1966, sir. Give it a guess.
I would be scared to say.
That's the type of reckless abandon that's going to let you make the field at Daytona. Come on. Make a guess, old-timer. Make a guess. I don't believe you have the reflexes to drive a car. I mean, you can't make a guess, old man.
Well, he's done well at Daytona, though. That's the thing. You like that race course.
Yeah, I like Daytona. I ran third there one time behind Mario Andretti.
I was 8. If you're wondering, I was 8.
8 years young.
8 years old when you first ran a Daytona 500, and you were Rookie of the Year.
And you raced against Mario Andretti?
That's right.
How old do you think Mike was?
I'm not sure. I know he's retired, and I'm still racing. That's the only thing I'm sure about.
I think he's talking about Mario Andretti. Do you know I stood in line when I was a kid, when I was 13 years old, to get Mario Andretti's autograph?
I bet you were 7, weren't you?
I was 7 years old. I was 7 years old. I counted on my fingers.
Here's a wild card. Right. How old was Rob?
Rob wasn't born yet.
How many years would it be until Rob was born?
10.
More than that, Rob. When were you born?
71.
71.
71. 71. James. Well, I won Talladega 500 when I was in 1972.
So, I mean, it's not that long ago, really. I mean, it's. Yeah. Did you ever think NASCAR would turn into be, you know, what it is today? I mean, it's the fastest growing sport in America right now.
That's right. No, that's amazing. If I wish I had thought ahead a little bit and kept some of my old race cars and looking for the future, I didn't look that far ahead.
James, here's the serious question. If you ran NASCAR before, you were a champion driver before. What are the odds, really, that you make the field this year? Don't you need a sponsor? And also, at this point, would you leave your blinker on? Would you leave your left hand turn?
Just to confuse the other drivers, right?
Or no, that's what Mike, that's what old people do.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand, Bruce.
I know you get jokes.
Why are you doing this, James? Really? I mean, you just love it, but the odds are against you, but you just... I mean, is this kind of like your hobby? Like some guys would retire and play golf. You decided to go back into racing. Have you been on and off involved in racing since you last raced, or what's the amount of time since you last raced?
Well, I've raced every year since I quit the Western Cup race. Not Western Cup anymore. It's Nextel.
That'd be Nextel today, right?
Yeah. I still don't remember. Ever since I've quit the Cup racing. I raced ARCA. If you're not familiar with ARCA, it's racing out in the Midwest with the same kind of same cars as what NASCAR uses.
Okay, so I mean you're still doing it. You've been doing it all along, so it's not that much of a stretch for you.
Are you going to try to qualify for the Daytona 500?
But that's for sure. We're working hard at it. I got my crew is all pumped up about it. Richard Childress Racing is back in this car, and you know, I don't know if you know, we went down and tested last week. Was the last day of testing, we were 15th fastest overall at 185 mile an hour, so we're definitely in the hunt.
Hey, that's pretty good for an old man. I'm not kidding you, sir.
185 miles an hour.
Wow.
Now, for the actual 500, on the day of the actual 500, what will the top speeds be thereabouts, be about 185, or will they go even higher than that?
Oh, they'll go higher when everybody gets hooked up racing. They're going to be up around, they'll be racing right at least 189, even 190.
Wow. Now, what are some of these young guns like Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon, guys, do they even acknowledge, yeah, that's Mike's guy, the FedEx guy.
Right.
Do they know who you are? Do you hang around the pits with these guys, or do they just look at you like some old guy?
Oh, yeah, they definitely know who I am because in the ARCA racing, see, we're usually racing there on the same weekend. But I did hear something down there after I got through testing running that 185. Somebody said Jeff Gordon just ran over my Walker.
Do you think, are they giving you the impression they are welcoming you to this? Are you getting any vibes from anybody that this might be a little dangerous, or are people, well, I mean, you have the experience, you know what you're doing. Are you getting a good reception from the regular Nextel drivers?
Yeah, Sam, they're treating me real well, and even young drivers are coming over shaking my hand, and the Bush boys, they come over.
Ah, the Bush babies,
Kyle and Kurt.
The Bush
and Carl,
you look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes. What are they called?
Carl
Bush
Edwards
baby.
Came over.
What's that?
Carl Edwards, he came over and shook my hand, said glad to be racing with this. So I don't see any problem, and take the number off the car, and you won't even know who's out.
You realize he's talking to us right now, DJs. He's like, before this happened, if you're going at 185, anything can happen in a race. You finish in the top 10, you're going to go from talking to disc jockeys to being like a feature article in Sports Illustrated.
What are the odds that you'd simply make the field? How many are there? 38, 39 cars that make the field, something like that?
Well, the odds are definitely against it. We're running with NASCAR. They got 35 cars already locked in on points. They don't have to qualify.
How many in addition to that?
We got eight spots. You're going to have about 30 cars trying to make eight spots.
Ah, that'd be so cool if you did it.
Yeah,
that would be great if you could do that, James.
Hey, how do you feel about Toyota? Come on, be honest.
They're
ruining NASCAR.
The way I feel about it, they better get hooked up because we're not waiting on them.
There you go.
Right,
just said it.
That's right.
Are you
shake and bake.
At 72, are you getting any race car groupies?
Well, I'm starting to get a fan base now. You know, I've seen a lady down at the racetrack hanging on the fence. She looked like she's about 65.
Uh-huh. Yeah, good for you.
Well, here's a question for you. If you happen to make the field, it seems to me you got as good a shot as anybody. If there's eight spots for
30 drivers for
30
eight spots.
30 drivers, eight spots. Right. If you made the race, how much would it cost us to buy, like, 5 inches on your car?
Well, see, then if I make that race, I'll have my agent call you.
If you qualify. How much would it cost us if we wanted to get 5 inches on the race car before you qualify?
Oh, before the price would be right. So.
That's great.
Now, are they covering you seriously, like ESPN, TNT, NBC? Have any of the networks come to you say that you're like a feel-good story yet?
Yeah, all of those networks have really given me a lot of coverage and good coverage.
Oh, we got to get our name on this guy's car.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, got to be like Don and Mike love old people. We got to put that on the car.
You obviously, James, you've got a manager, right? Richard Childress is kind of unofficially backing this car, right?
That's right.
So we'd probably have to, if we were going to, you know, be a small sponsor of your car, we'd have to contact Richard Childress Racing. We've always wanted to put our name on a race car.
And I've always had an idea for people your age. I was thinking we could call it something like Don and Mike's Leisure Camps. you could be the spokesman.
I've been waiting for AARP to call me. So far they haven't.
I really think, seriously, if you do happen to qualify, and there's no reason to think you might not qualify for this race, this will open up a lot of sponsorship doors. Has anybody made any overtures to you yet about being involved with some kind of sponsorships?
What about the Metamucil car?
Well, as a matter of fact, we do have several people that are interested to get on the car. So yeah. we may be fully sponsored for the qualifying time, yeah. Sure enough.
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, you're 72. How is your health?
I passed my physical. And
barely. And are you married, sir?
No, I've been divorced for about 15 years, so I'm still helping.
That's a round of applause. That means you're going to go faster.
You know, here I am. I was thinking this is a goof, and now I'm actually reading some of the stuff about you that we just pulled up on the web. Do you know that last year, James actually qualified for a Busch Series race in Milwaukee?
Well, there you go. And that's no slouch right there.
So that's
there.
That's like A ball.
Real deal.
Triple A ball as opposed to major leagues. That's very close. What kind of car did you drive when you qualified in Milwaukee? How fast were you going there?
That was a Jay Robertson sponsored Chevrolet Monte Carlo, and that's what I'm Richard Childress Chevrolet I'm driving now. I think I'm going to be partial to Chevrolet with the way things have been going.
That's not bad. And since 1964, what's the best car you ever drove? Well, everybody's got to have a favorite. Anybody that's done what you've done, you have to have your darling car in all those years. What's your favorite car?
Well, the car I ran last year in the ARCA series finished 18th in the driver points for the year. Mm-hmm. And the best car is a 05 Ford Taurus. And we named it Martina McBride after the singer, country singer.
McBride. Right.
Yeah, and that's my favorite car. It ran all the races and didn't crash. Didn't even put a dent in it. Right. Ran 17 races. That was my favorite up until now, until I drove this car I got now around Daytona. And this car here, I just about want to sleep with it every night. It'll keep it in my sight.
Well, hell, if you qualify, I think Martina McBride ought to come down and spend the night with you in your trailer.
Yeah, I heard that.
Well, James, I hear that. Get her done.
Get her done.
You're a very entertaining guy. Thanks for being on the show. I thought this was a goof interview. Turns out you're serious as hell. We wish you nothing but the best.
Good luck to you, James. We really hope you qualify.
Well, I appreciate it, and I want all the seniors to pull for me now because this is for seniors to show them that you get 70 years old, you're not dead yet.
Amen, brother.
Your car should be sponsored by Oxygen. I mean, not the network, the stuff that you smell and breathe.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what I'll do on the pit stop. Instead of gas, they'll have to give me oxygen.
Good luck, James.
We'll watch for you. Thanks,
Jim. Good luck.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye-bye, see you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
Wow.
Grandpa, would you like to take us fishing and tell us life lessons and stories about your childhood?
I got a better idea. Why don't you boys go dig a hole, and I'll get another beer.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Good call. Here, that's worth a nickel.
Tragic.
Tragic.
Oh, that's more Ricky Bobby stuff. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, good luck. Who knows? Maybe he can make it. Why couldn't he make it?
Well, I mean, he's been racing. It's not like he's been retired. He's actually been racing just on the smaller circuits, and that'd be amazing if he did that. It really would. You know, they talk about, I guess you know more about racing than I do, but don't they say that reflexes are the whole game? I mean, that's why it's a. But look at Paul Newman. Paul Newman's 80 years old and he's still winning races. Yeah.
Did you see Paul Newman on Letterman last week?
I did, yes.
With that driver that looked like he weighed 30 pounds?
I TiVo right past that. Every time Paul Newman's on Letterman, it's just like going to Thanksgiving and have to sit and listen to the old uncle who's got the stories and you have to.
Well, you know why Letterman has him on there. It's the racing.
It's the boner for racing,
and
right?
Letterman goes nuts for the racing.
Something looks wrong. I mean, he's running around like he's on fire.
Oh, my God, help me. I don't want to die.
Ricky Bobby.
Stop
Ricky Bobby.
Roll.
You're not on fire, Ricky Bobby.
I'm on fire.
You're not on fire.
But I'm not even sure he even knows where he's at right now.
This makes us all realize the kind of pressure these drivers are under.
Mr. Bobby, come on down here.
Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jewish God. Huh? Help me, Allah. Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise.
How could you not like Will Ferrell, Mike?
I never saw Ricky Bobby.
Use a witchcraft on me to get the fire off me.
See, he's really not on fire.
Ricky Bobby.
You mentioned Paul Newman. Have you seen any of the new mysterious Robert Redford face from the Sundance Film Festival?
No.
There's mysterious things going on with that face.
Is he growing more of those things on his face?
Well, he's wearing glasses, and his face is not wrinkled, but it's almost like pushed forward.
But here's the thing. Don't you think? I'd always thought Robert Redford had not had anything done, which is why he looked all craggy.
He hasn't had anything done. And I think that's why he just gets craggier and
I got a hard time busting his balls because at least he's one of those. He's not like Michael Douglas, one of those guys that's had his face pulled back 8,000
times. No, there's no way. I don't
think
Robert Redford's done anything. And neither has Paul Newman, I don't think, has done anything either.
He doesn't need to.
Right.
Right.
Homo. There's a mystery with Mr. Redford.
Mr. Redford.
Okay, Rob.
And he was so handsome in the day.
Yeah.
Back when I was gay for him.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I was wondering if that guy runs his race the whole time with his blinker on.
Oh, boy. God, that's frustrating. Sure is.
You can't hear this on over the phone, right?
No, it's like the frequency. This must be up over 15 hertz or whatever.
I got you.
Or 15,000, whatever the hell it is.
That's a good joke. I wish I remember where I heard it before.
Yeah.
You mentioned Paul Newman.
Right. Okay. Bye, Dumas.
Thank you. And it was complimented by the bad cell phone, too. Oh,
perfect, really.
That was
terrible,
just lovely.
Terrible, terrible.
It was terrible, Simon. Please listen before you call.
Bush baby.
Yeah.
You're a bush baby.
You look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes.
Did anybody see on YouTube those two creeps that were on American Idol on Jimmy Kimmel on Friday night?
No, Jimmy Kimmel was stealing.
The fat guy and the bug eye boy. Yeah. And also there's a story that one of the people on American Idol, I'm not sure which one of the ones it was.
The fat guy, I think.
Was in the Special Olympics.
And Special Olympics has come out and said they had no problem with the way he was handled on American Idol.
And they're having to do so much goddamn spin now. Over the weekend, I read something in maybe the New York Times of all newspapers, the paper of record or whatever they call it, where they were talking to Simon Cowell about how cruel they are, the perception that they're cruel this year.
Right.
And his quote was, I'm paraphrasing, something like, "We're not any crueler than we were before. You don't see when these people come before us when the cameras aren't on. And we tell them that they stink, and they still want to do it."
Right.
Right.
So he was saying, you're not seeing everything. Like, when we see the retarded people come up, we tell them, hey, you're retarded. We're just going to make fun of you. But they want it anyway. And you know why? Because they're retarded.
I have a nuts and bolts American.
He's mentally retarded.
That involves, you see these huge stadiums where people are staging for the auditions. The judges, Paula, Randy, and Simon, they don't get to see every single solitary person, do they? They're pre-done. So if you're really, really horrible bad, you get through, and if you're good, you get through.
Right.
But the great average people that are really, like, on the borderline, they edit those people out.
I think out of the...
Is that how it works?
We have last week, like, out of the 16,000 people that showed up somewhere, like 200 made it to be in front of them.
And they make it because they're so bad.
Correct.
So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It's kind of bugs me. I don't know why it bugs me, but I guess they can't interview all these.
Here's Dr. Phil defending American Idol.
American Idol is a game show. I mean, it is great family entertainment, and I don't think that they are the guardians of Americans' mental health. I just really don't. They know the drill. They know what's happening. And these people that are going on there that can't sing and so they get ridiculed, they're looking for their 15 minutes, okay?
And everybody says he's making a lot of sense
he
there.
Certainly
you
is.
Look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes. What are they called? Bush baby.
I mean, you are such
the bush babies. What are you doing?
You know, we've got to have somebody listening to this show that has auditioned, that has gone through the process. I would be very curious to know behind the scenes how everything works. Like, for example, when you get those guys in there, if they go in...
Like the bug-eye boy?
Yeah, with a pretty good idea
they're gonna stink.
Mm-hmm. That they're going to get reamed. Right, you know, I would think they that they would. Know. I'd love to know what the logistics
well,
are,
that's
how they're prepped for that and all
this
that
this article
other
that I read, that's what Simon Cowell said. He said, you know, we're getting this rap as being cruel. These people that come in, and specifically the people that were on the show last week, out of the people that you saw, maybe five of them, we pulled aside and we said to them before the cameras went on, you're really awful.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, that's okay.
We still want to go in front of Simon.
We still want to go on.
Right. I bet that's how it works. They say to them, if you really want to do that, we'll let you do that.
Did you see Bush Baby on with Vieira this morning on the Today Show?
No.
She asked him point blank, do you feel like you were set up to fail? He said no.
Hmm. So they get the people that actually
they had him
know they're
the
going to get real.
Yeah.
They had him and the fat guy. Mm.
So they know that they're going to get ridiculed or they're so clueless.
That,
they said, hey, you can audition in front of the big guns if you want.
Really, it's like saying to someone with who's not playing with a full deck,
right?
Know, hey, these matches are great. Mm-hmm. Why not put some of these matches in your mouth? I mean, you know, they're
going to... I think my question is, do you think they BS them all along the chain before they get to Randy, Paul, and Simon?
Possibly.
Do you think they do it that way, or do they give them a clue? Say, hey, look, we think you're not good. That's why we were laughing. But if you want to try on the next level, or do they say... Okay, we're going to let you through and just totally BS them to get them in because they have to go through a pre-auditioning process.
Or is it possible that these, like the bug-eye boy and the fat guy, the Special Olympics guys, that they are just, you could say to them.
You said, that was really good. You're going to get to audition in front of Simon and Randy.
Or you could just say realistically, hey, listen, fat Special Olympics boy, you're really not very good. Mm-hmm. And you know what he's going to say? You know, can I eat some more matches, please? Mm-hmm. You know,
I'd love
can
to
I
know
put
what,
some more matches in my mouth?
But see, that's the thing. Everybody's always talked about, hey, you know, is Paul a waster or not? But nobody's asking the kind of questions like the behind the scenes.
Right.
What's it really like and what is the process? Because it is an incredibly entertaining show. And I know a lot goes into, you know, sanitizing that for our consumption.
It,
and I'd
yes.
love to see what goes on.
Right. I also read her latest excuse for all those tapes last week.
What's she saying now?
What she's saying now is that it's so easy. That I can't believe she did not explain this as easy as it came out. While she was talking to San Francisco, she had the Los Angeles station in her ear.
Yeah, right.
While she was on with the San Francisco station, she had Atlanta in her ear. While she was on with New Orleans, she had Philadelphia in her ear. So she was not responding to questions.
She was being asked. Right.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I don't think it's a question of what she had in her ear. It's a question of what she had in her nose or in her mouth.
That's the best you can do.
I think that might be the more operative question for Paula.
That's the best excuse you can come up with, Paula.
So many people were talking to me. I couldn't even figure it out.
Shut up.
Thank you, Simon. Simon.
Bush baby.
Simon.
You look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes.
Oh, God.
What are they called? Bush baby.
Meanwhile, American
I love Island, Randy's reaction to that. That's my favorite part of that.
American Idol is laughing absolutely all the way to the bank because it used
incredible.
To be the other TV networks would not cover American Idol news because you're giving Fox publicity.
Right.
Now that they got the chance to jump on it with something they perceive as being negative, they really go all the way with it, full blown. And it does nothing but heighten
Help
our anticipation
show.
For the next episode.
Yeah, with that many viewers with their first week, you've got more people this week now that are wanting to jump on the bandwagon. I would say they're going to set more records this week.
Probably.
It's going to get bigger and bigger.
Really? Hold on. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.